This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
On today's podcast, we hear from Susie Dents on the art of shithousery, Sid's curry order, and the £1 billion bottle drops. Hello and welcome to that Peter Crouch podcast with me, Peter Crouch. I've got the Notorious and Chris Start with me. This is the Friday edition. Squeaky bum time.
It's nearly getting close.
I think the headline on this is I stretch my lead to double figures.
Is that
first one
for?
Of us three, yeah, that's the spin I would go on it.
Even though you didn't get any points?
I got 1 point this week.
Oh, you did? Sorry, you did get one point. Sorry, me and Sid's got two, so we did gain on you.
Mm. Yeah, I got a message from Josh Earl. The BBQC loses ground. His arseholes fell out. Peter Crouch moves to within
fell out.
A point of the top. While Sickno Steve remains rooted, albeit only 2 points off the top. I thought it summed up perfectly.
Really well summed up that. Really well
it's
summed
what
up.
What it is a very close game now because we're all one correct result can send you to top.
Yes.
It's tight. It's like the top of the Premier League at the moment. There's very little in it. And we don't do goal difference in this, do we?
No.
Do you know what I've realised, right? You know, getting a point or two as we got today, it's very hard to get a correct score. Very hard, right? Mm. I think we shouldn't beat ourselves up by getting 1 or 2 points because you've got two correct scores. Like you've nailed the result. Mm. It's a tough thing to do.
It is, but it's snakes and ladders in the sense that if one of you does get the correct score, you skyrocket. You need to keep it consistent.
The Japanese.
You know, get those 1 or 2 points a week.
Do you know what
there was? There was a time on the first half of the season that I got 6 points. I guessed correctly 2 scores.
Ooh,
got 6 out of 9. And you boys were raving. I was like, you don't believe how
this doesn't
sort of half lucky that was. And that's not happening often.
He's bowling around like Balotelli, you know. The swagger of the man. Like,
absolutely outrageous.
It was massive from you at that point. But no, it's we're grinding out results here. And the Friday pod itself was in jeopardy.
Massive
because,
jeopardy.
You know, we said after a poor couple of weeks, we basically said if none of us get any points, this Friday podcast won't happen, but the fact you're listening to it now means that it's okay, it's back.
Yeah.
Hell of a gamble, though.
Massive gamble, really, wasn't it?
We put our necks on the line to say that.
Back stronger.
Yeah. And I could tell you were happy over the weekend, Pete, because I started seeing a video doing the rounds on social of you dancing to Beyonce.
Was that what it was? Beyonce, was it?
Yeah. So, you know, have you heard the new Beyonce song there? Does it in Texas?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Is that Beyonce who sings that?
Yeah.
No.
You was too busy.
Strong Friday night, was it?
It's an interesting Friday night. Yeah, it was. Ended up going round to Amanda Holden's house. We ended up having a dance. Yeah. I tried to stay out of it.
Well, you were the only fella in the video, I think, weren't you?
Well, Alan Carr was in it as well.
Oh, sorry, he was.
Oh, wow.
No, he was. You're right. I could. My memory of it was Amanda Holden.
Yeah.
Abs was there.
Yeah.
I'm sure was one of the Pussycat Dolls there.
Yeah.
Normally is.
Yeah.
And then.
Normally is.
Why is there always a Pussycat Doll?
I have no idea. There's always one there.
I must have just not seen Alan Carr, so apologies.
Well, listen, you know what? It was like, Matt Loves had a lovely evening, like, you know, like a dinner party vibe. Lovely, really nice. But obviously the hat went on me and they were practicing it for ages and I was just having a drink, like, sit down. And then I got roped into the finished article. So what I would say is that they had a lot of training before I rocked up.
And how did you write? You're wearing a hat.
I just performed and then sat back down.
And this is for a TikTok video, was it? Was it?
Apparently. I mean, listen, I just thought we were having a laugh.
It's gone viral.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah.
It does happen. We went through a spell on this podcast, actually, of doing some of the TikTok trends and things, didn't we? we've sort of bitten that off, but I'd love to see that come back, actually, just for the right one, occasionally.
You did the old Harlem Shuffle, Fulham, didn't you?
Yeah, we done that. Well, what did we do? We done the one at Brewdog, didn't we? We done...
Harlem Shake?
No. We done one. Like you said,
is it not called, it's called the Harlem Shake? It's not the Harlem Shuffle.
Nah, you made your whole home run up.
I'm starting to like feel old.
You're so old.
Yeah, like, I'm saying things.
One margarita? Did we do that?
The one margarita. Yeah. I don't know if we ever talked about it on the podcast, but we were... I was trying to explain the... It's kind of if you know situation, because I'm not gonna describe the videos, but basically the
one showed me a couple of them and we watched them for about half an hour.
Yeah. Give me one margarita, and then we went upstairs and had margaritas.
Yeah,
actually,
we did, quite fun. Got in the mood for it.
Okay, Friday podcast. So Little League going. Where you get points for the right results, that kind of thing. Yeah, and it's kind of between us, and there's a forfeit at the end of the season. It's very tight, as Pete was saying. I'm on 10 points, Pete's on 9, and Sid's, you're on 8 points. You're at the bottom. You're in the forfeit zone right now. We don't know what that forfeit is yet, but we'll address that closer to the end of the season.
Slightly worried.
It's a danger zone.
Yeah.
Danger zone.
You are in a danger zone, but it's very, very tight. Mm. Very tight. Good weekend, though. Good weekend of football. Loads of goals again. Enjoyed it. Liverpool won the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, did you enjoy the game?
I did. Yeah, me and Sid, we actually, a few of the golf lads went out for a beer, so no work in. We just went into the pub and watched it in there. Had a bite to eat and had a few beers.
God, that's lovely, isn't it? Because it leans into extra time and suddenly you need another beer. Great, it is actually, kind of great, that situation, isn't it?
Yeah, things escalated a touch.
Why? I'm surprised they do extra time in this cup final, given where the game is sort of placed in the season. I would have thought it'd go straight to penalties.
Yeah, I don't think either manager would probably be worried about that.
Yeah.
It was a good game, though.
It was a really enjoyable game. What did you make of Gary Neville's comments? Bit heavy?
I thought it was a bit harsh. Blues bottle jobs.
Bit harsh.
I don't think they bottled it, did they?
It could have gone either way, couldn't it? It was a really good game of football.
Yeah. I mean, what is your take on the goal that was offside for Chelsea? I'm just still a bit dubious at that camera angle.
Nicholas Jackson?
Yeah. Because when you looked at it, it looked onside to me. And then when they freeze-framed it, it still looked onside. But
the other one was Van Dijk as well. Like, so you're offside for blocking.
Yeah.
So I didn't have the volume on loud at that point. That was the one where the ref went over to the screen, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to work out what he was watching, because it was either offside or it wasn't. And then they were trying to work out
if the blocker was offside, that potentially would have been in that area if the ball would have come in.
Yeah.
Which was the right call.
I mean, I think you outlaw a lot of goals if that's the case.
That happens every week.
I just want to apologise to the Chelsea fans after the cup final as well, just because in slightly random news, I'm now the voice of Wembley Way, which is great because Champions League finals this year, and you know, it's real honour. Yeah. I'm now.
Oh, you are. Wow.
Yeah. So that's cool. That's nice. So I do all the announcements and like the safety announcements, and they're all recorded. I've recorded them all, so they just play them through the tannoy. So it's a big honour. I used to hang around Wembley Way just on match days where I couldn't get a ticket. So quite nice to be asked to do it, so I've done that. And but the thing that I need to apologize for is the announcements, as I understand it from the many Chelsea fans that messaged me, that were being played as they were leaving the stadium. It's me going, what an amazing day at Wembley under the arch, you know, what a fantastic day we've all had, get home soon. And it was pissing down with rain, and also they've just lost the cup final in extra time. It probably wasn't, I didn't really think it through on that one.
No.
So I'm going to get those re-recorded to something more generic. George, who works on the podcast here, said people were booing.
No.
And that's the last thing we want.
It's not what you want, is it?
And your team have just lost. You don't need me over there going, brilliant day. So I think we get that re-recorded. And I just want to thank the Chelsea fans that did message me to tell me it probably needs a quick rework.
Okay.
And I'll get on that.
Yeah. Go.
£1 billion bottle jobs, though, for the Blueies, Sids. What's your take on that?
I thought they was just the better team, in my opinion.
Blueies?
The Blueies. The Blueies. The Blueies were, they was up for it.
Yeah.
So the stat that seems to be coming out is by the end of the game, the average age, and I think this was the team mm-hmm. that was playing at the end of the game. By the end of the game, the average age of the Chelsea team was younger than the Liverpool team.
Yeah.
So to be going Klopp's kids is it's sort of doing a discredit.
Yeah.
However, that is heavily counterweighed by the cost of the Blues.
Yeah, my issue is that with that one is like, I get that, but like you have actually paid a lot of money for those young players.
Yeah.
Whereas what's good about Liverpool is that they have come through and it's like, some of them, like, they haven't had many games at all, you know? Yeah. And to come on in a game of that magnitude, in that kind of atmosphere.
Huge.
And like, hold themselves the way they did, I thought was amazing, really.
That's the bit. I mean, I'm gutted for the result. I wanted Chelsea to win it, being a Chelsea fan. But brilliant for Liverpool. In the circumstances with the youngsters, throwing them on before extra time and... what a day that they'll never forget, them youngsters of Liverpool.
Will that kind of win help in their efforts with the league, do you think? Is that the kind of thing you get that silverware and helps you push on?
Listen, it's in the bag, isn't it? Like, it was special. I thought the atmosphere at Wembley was incredible. Like, it really felt like, I don't know, it was something special, I thought. It wasn't, you know, I think the Carabao Cup gets a bit of stick as if it's like the worst one. You know, you can win out of the, you know, FA Cup, Premier League, Champions League. It's like the lesser of the big ones. But it just felt like it was something special, wasn't it? It was like Klopp's leaving, the fans were up for it, the manner of the game, the way it was won, like kind of last minute. Did feel like, you know, more of a special final than we've seen in previous years.
Yeah, and is it not the case with that final that a lot of teams will, especially if you get knocked out, will be saying, oh, it didn't mean that much anyway, until you get to the final and actually you do want to win it.
Well, you could tell, couldn't you? You could tell with the way that the game was played. It was two teams desperate to win that.
Yeah. What about the Watford result? Was you at the game?
I was at the game. Yeah, I was so disappointed by it. So we lost to Huddersfield, have hit poor form. Obviously, Watford are my team, which is why we're probably focusing on them. It also felt like the game that rules us out of the playoffs.
Really? Already?
I think so, because we've got a run of tricky games coming up. You never say never. Championship's wild like that. But I think the tricky thing about the situation at Watford is that hitting a bit of poor form, you are really as close to the bottom now as you are the potential of... And it is tight margins, but... yeah, I've got to say, it was probably the worst game I've seen all season.
Really?
It was horrible, to the point where I didn't want to go out to see Example that evening, which is, you know, a sign, if anything. That's, and you know, I was excited about that.
Yeah, was.
Would
really
that not have cheered you up? Would
I don't
that
not know. Been like, you know when what? You're in a bad headspace for a night out? I just,
really?
I don't know.
So you seriously wasn't in the mood to go out?
No.
That's a serious football fan there, isn't it?
Wow, yeah.
No, I don't know.
Maybe you just fire up the barbecue.
So you know what I did? I ordered in a curry, right? But the wrong curry turned up. It was someone else's curry.
No.
But by then, I'd had such a kind of poor afternoon. I just thought, fuck it, I'll just eat this.
What was it?
It's well nice, but it was completely vegetarian.
Was it?
Yeah, so there was all sorts of things in there I'd never had before.
How do you know it was someone else's? Obviously, I know
well, it was nothing in there was what I ordered.
Yeah, but was the name on the bag?
No,
on the bag?
My name. It got delivered. Because by then I'd taken delivery, so I couldn't be asked to phone them because it's going to take them. It's Saturday night. It's another hour. It's not happening. So I was like, I'll just eat whatever this is, you know, deal. And is that illegal? I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Is it curry for one?
Yeah, but you can never really achieve that, can you? But then you have it the next morning. Anyway, we're not here.
What was it?
It was like veggie stuff. There was courgette sort of thing in there, which, you know, you never order.
Oh, God, courgette curry.
That has not been on my radar.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was like, it's like the B team. It was like, it's like everything that you wouldn't order going through a menu, they'd ordered.
Yeah, it sounds like it was all the leftovers and the shit that they've just thrown in.
It could have been. Do you know what would be interesting though? Because it opened my eyes. It was a new experience. I had a...
I can't believe we're discussing this. Carry on though. I'm enjoying it. I'm here for it.
Saag paneer. The cheese paneer, one. You see, I love Sagaloo.
Yeah.
Oh, Sagaloo, yeah.
Love that.
Mm. Lamb saag, I think.
There's an injustice with Sagaloo though. I do actually think it gets done down by being a side.
Yeah.
I think it could step up to May. It's good. Fucking lovely, isn't it?
You know what? I'll tell Mr. Islam that.
You do?
Yeah.
We'll
tell him.
Yeah. There was some sort of courgette thing. I mean, there was a fair amount of food, actually. So I was kind of looking at the situation, just going, you know, fine.
Yeah.
Veggie samosas, a mushroom bhaji, which I'd never had before.
Yeah, I've had that one.
Yeah.
Nice. Like that.
Very nice. Yeah.
Very nice. Kind of the same. Mm.
So it's a vegetarian order.
So someone, yeah, which means someone's got a massive meaty sort of delivery.
I didn't even think of that.
I have to assume.
Yeah, whoa. They've got it wrong.
But I quite like the idea that it's almost like swapping the flag at the beginning of an international game. I think what might have happened is like they've received that and they've gone, oh, fuck it, I can't be asked to wait an hour. Like, let's give it a go.
They've had a go.
And there they're going, a lambooner. Bloody lovely.
Isn't it amazing that you like, I suppose we're all learning, we're trying different things, we're expanding our palates. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I almost would encourage the idea that what you can do is order £20 worth of food from an Indian restaurant and they just send you whatever shit they want and you just go with it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good shout. What's your curry of choice?
I can go hot.
Talk us through your order. Ooh. Do the whole order.
What, for the whole family or
no,
just
for
me?
If, well,
not for the whole
family. Sid's has got a Saturday night.
The whole family's got four kids.
It depends now. I'll go for the, if it's me, what's it depends what mood I'm in. I can go hot, I can go chicken nagger.
Yeah. So is that more than a fowl? Like a vindaloo fowl?
I don't know if it's more than a fowl.
It's more than a vindaloo. More than a vindaloo. It might be just under.
Just under a fowl.
Yeah. Yeah, they're up there. So I, to be fair, when I'm eating it, I'm sweating on the back of my... I actually go, why am I doing this to myself?
But then it's just quite addictive, isn't it?
So, okay, just talk. So ring me up. What's... Ring me up.
Okay.
Bring, bring. Bring, bring.
Hello, Steve. I recognise the number. What... Yeah. What's your order?
Yeah, hello, doing Barry. I'm going to go for it tonight. I'm going to have the nagger, please, as the usual.
No can, problem, sir.
Can I? I'm going to go with the mushroom rice and naan bread, please.
Which one?
About just plain naan. Go plain. Yeah, just plain naan today.
You sure, sir? No garlic today, sir.
No. With the nagger, it looks. I like to mop it up.
Plain naan. Okay. Pop just it on, plain sir. Naan.
How pop many? It on, please. Yeah. All the spices and chutneys, throw them all in.
Standard.
And I think let's go some onion bhajis as well.
Onion bhajis?
Yeah.
Sagaloo, sir?
No sagaloo, not today.
No sagaloo? Not today. What are you?
No, I would have sagaloo, but not today.
How long will that be?
What's that?
How long will it be?
About an hour.
Come here again.
Massive push on subscribers this year. We're up to over 100,000, but we want more, and that's down to you. So if you haven't hit subscribe yet, but you still like this podcast, hit now. Otherwise, you're a Carl.
Right, this next part of the podcast is supported by Paddy Power, and it's the big weekend fixture. Manchester City versus Manchester United, Manchester Derby.
Huge.
Huge favourite, City. 2-7.
Whoa.
Wow.
Which is massively odds on. Yeah, United to nick a 1-0 is 25-1. A tenner gets you 260 back.
That's a bet right there, isn't it?
Well, that's good value, I think.
I mean, it's they're massively unlikely underdogs from these odds, but a 1-0 win away at City.
And that, I
couldn't see them winning more.
City are obviously very strong favourites. And it feels like they're kind of clicking into gear. I know Bournemouth was like, it was only 1-0, but it's still comfortable. Do you know what I mean? I it feels like they're going to win games. They're going to have a run now.
Yeah. Have you seen any highlights from that game? Have you seen John Stones?
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Well, he was playing as a centre-half, but he was just roaming everywhere. Well, so there was points in the game where he was playing as a striker or as a number 10.
Oh, really?
Just in mid-flow of the game.
I saw the video of him talking to Pep and he was giving Pep the same Pep hands, you know, doing the...
Yeah.
And then Pep was answering with, obviously, Pep hands. And it was... quite strange to see. I can see him going that way. He's got a touch of the Artetas about him. Like I can see
John
him managing.
Stones.
Yeah.
Parched?
Possibly. Mm. There are question marks. Yeah. What about this though? So obviously you expect some City goals in this game. United averaging nearly two goals across their last five Premier League away matches. And it's true. If you think about it, they have got that form on their side here. Feels a bit more exciting what's going on there.
For United?
Yeah.
Yeah. Disappointing against Fulham.
Yeah.
We obviously backed them all last week.
They were good. Fulham played well.
Fulham were really good.
Really good. Great finish from Iwobi, I thought.
But you're just thinking now, wounded animal, there's got to be a reaction from United, especially in this game. But City, strong.
That Manchester derby, isn't it? I mean, come on, it's a different entity in its own right, regardless of what's at stake, surely.
City have won 18 of the last 22.
Have they?
Yeah.
Oh.
With four draws.
So what are we going for?
Well, I think they pump them. 3-0.
You've gone 3-0?
Yeah.
I've gone 3-1.
I've gone 3-0 as well.
Oh, have you?
But I'll change it because we don't want to be the same. So you've gone City 3-1, City 3-0. Okay. I was toying with 2-0, but then I've just seen there that City to win 4-0 is 13-1. £10 to get you 140 quid back. 4-0, they can't do them 4, can they?
Oh, I don't think they can.
Okay, I'll go 2.
Two, not 4.
I'll have two of the buggers.
Right, two of the buggers, three of the buggers, 3-1 of the buggers.
Yep, okay.
All right, lovely. Yes, the odds are correct at the time of recording. Please gamble responsibly. Let's move on to Newcastle Wolves. Newcastle feel like they've fallen away a bit.
Which is worrying because they are getting a fit squad back. You know, week by week, they are getting numbers back. So, I mean, and they was pumped by Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah. It was
like it was red arrows, literally. Worrying.
Last season, that would have been a close like encounter, wouldn't it? But it just felt like Arsenal. I know they're on fire at the moment, but...
Yeah, Newcastle, it looks like it's just taking its toll at the moment. But then for Wolves, we spoke about Gary O'Neill a lot of me on the pod, and just keeps getting better and better for him. Really good result against the Sheffield United.
Mm. Yeah. In the bottom half on goal difference.
Yeah.
It's tight that little bit in the middle.
Mm.
So that Arsenal game, thoughts on that? Because Arsenal are scoring a lot of goals now. Feels bad, they're accelerating.
Every weekend we see them, we're like, bang 4 or 5. Like,
the mad thing is, everyone's still talking about City, Liverpool, 1 and 2. Like, there's not really many that are taking stock of what Arsenal are doing, but you've got to take them serious.
100%. Yeah, especially when you see them score by these margins. Mm. When it's a couple of games now with 4-0 or 4-1.
Especially because everyone's going, oh, you know, they need a striker. Well, and then you're like 5-5-4.
They're all scoring.
Yeah, mate, they look good. They look good at the moment.
And for them to come away from that Newcastle game upset at conceding a goal,
it
shows a certain confidence.
Yeah, yeah.
The whole thing that's going on now.
Yeah, but Wolves slightly inconsistent at the moment. They're eighth. Who do you fancy in this one?
I've gone draw. I've gone 2-2.
God, that's a good... I love that shout. If that comes in, I've done a 2-2 in the first half of the season and you get such a euphoria.
What a 2-2 draw.
What a 2-2 when you backed it. I remember it was Arsenal-Chelsea, I'd done 2-2 and I think it was a last minute one as well and I was like, get the fuck in there.
It's just an amazing feeling when you get the right score. We've had a couple of narrow misses recently.
You've gone 2-2, yeah?
I've gone 2-2.
I think Newcastle bounce back here. I'm going to go nervy 1-0.
Oh, right. Okay, this is interesting. So I'm going to go for a Wolves away win.
So we've got something different, finally.
Finally.
So I've got Wolves 2, Newcastle 1. So 2-1 Wolves, 1-1. 1-1.
2-0.
Sorry, 2-2 and 1-0.
And 1-0 to Newcastle.
It's exciting.
That could be the one.
So riveting.
That is exciting.
That's going to be the first 3-pointer there this season.
Well, yeah, hopefully. Right, Everton West Ham.
Okay, well, you know, we found out this week that Everton are having the points reduced, the amount of points that they've obviously lost. It's gone from 10 to 6. They've gained 4 points back.
Yeah.
Do you think that news makes this Everton team buoyed, you know, does it kind of give an extra sort of wind in the sails, or does it force you to take your foot off the gas a little bit?
No. To be fair, he's had the hammer down with them, hasn't he? Did you do an Everton game recently?
Yeah, I've been up there.
Yeah. And obviously Dyche was saying they've been at it, like probably even better than before the points. So this, I think it'll give a little pickup, but I don't see it making a massive difference to how they've been, because they have been really good. I think it's going to be a tight one. This
odd.
Stranger.
Yeah.
The fans, there feels like there's a little bit of a turn to David Moyes. He's had to remind them about, you know, how successful that they've been the last, 12, 18 months. But there's still a few out for his head.
Maybe a lack of trust, maybe in the management moment, like from fan-wise. You know, they've got good players. And you think about last year, like, how successful they were. Obviously, first, like, win in Europe, it was amazing. Yeah. But Everton at home, I think they're too strong for West Ham.
I have to agree. Should we get into scores?
I'm gonna go for you. Go first, because I've wrote it down.
I actually think this is going to be a draw. I've gone for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
I think Everton will go one goal up, and I think West Ham will equalise, and that'll all be in the first half.
I've gone Everton 2, West Ham 1.
Very specific
on this one. I've gone Everton win
2-1. Okay, 2-0 for me.
2-0.
2-0 Everton.
No one's fancying West Ham, which is a big change in the season already, isn't it? Even just that perception of how things have ended up playing out.
Yeah, I just don't. I backed them the other week. I thought there was going to be a bounce back from them the other week and against Forest, wasn't it? And Forest done them. So I'm sorry, West Ham fans. I'm going to go with Everton.
Bounce back ability. Do you remember when Ian Dowie came up with that? Do you remember that?
And that got put in the dictionary
it's
as well.
It's in the dictionary now. Yeah. It's an actual word now. Ian Dowie has changed the dictionary. Mm. Never thought I'd say that.
I wonder if we can stick a word in there.
You what?
A word to go in the dictionary.
Yeah, you can always sneak these things into the Urban Dictionary. And we did for a while, didn't we? And we got Susie Dent to get involved in the podcast.
Yeah,
previously.
Susie Dent was involved, yeah.
She was kind of our wordsmith. She was...
She defined shithousery.
Susie Dent defining shithouse. I found it. Do you want to have a little
I'd love to. Yeah, yeah. Blast in the past.
A public shithouse was where people emptied their guts. It was a toilet. Guts, otherwise known as arse ropes in those days, which are one of my favourite ones. By the 1950s, a century later, shithouse had become another word for any horrible place that went the same way as a shithole. Or it could also mean a despicable person, which is the key to the footballing sense. In football, being a shithouse is viewed either as a dark art or a bit like being a pantomime villain, a bit gobby and a bit swaggering with it. Where does that sense come from? Looks as though it really kicked off in Liverpool in the 50s and 60s, and in one Liverpudlian dictionary of slang from the time, a shithouse is described as, again, a despicable person or a coward. So as Peter says, maybe jumping out of a tackle. You know, words really bedded in when you start to get riffs on it, and now we have shithousery, winding up the opponent, and shithousing as a verb, and both of those really took off during the last World Cup. Not a lot of evidence that they're being used positively, but it wouldn't be at all surprising if they do go that way, because slang loves to flip bad to good and vice versa. Hope that helps. Bye, guys.
That's incredible.
Right, isn't it? What explanation of how the word shithouse has evolved from Susie Dent?
I loved your reactions, because you guys obviously weren't expecting that.
Couldn't believe it. So much detail. It's
really thorough.
Because we mentioned it, didn't we? I said that I remember shithouse being someone who jumped out of a tackle, and now it seems to be seen as a good thing. Like, it was cowardice.
It's now a verb, isn't it? It's a doing verb. It's like,
and now it's
to
like
shithouse.
To shithouse someone.
Yeah, rather than just a descriptive word, which I can't remember what that was. She did explain. I'm not great on my grammar. But we should get her doing more words. There must be more in football, more words in football. It'd be lovely to get it back.
Well,
on
you know, like things like that, the words that you only hear in football,
yeah,
like
capitulated,
like, capitulate, panache,
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 panache.
Yeah.
Have you ever used the word panache?
Panache. He's put it away with real panache.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. aplomb. Aplomb.
Aplomb's lovely.
Like, no one's ever used, like, you go, cough, that had a bit of aplomb. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't say that in a normal, but you'd go, cough, finish that with aplomb, didn't it? You don't think what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I think it's good. I'm just trying to think of what we do here. I think we could get some words towards Susie Dent. Could be a nice thing on a Friday, couldn't it? Just get one more word defined by her.
Yeah, I'd really like aplomb.
Yeah.
To be the first one.
But I want some of the like history of chance as well, because I think that's interesting. So if we say have like fat bastard, you know, like what the
where did you fat bastard originate from?
Yeah, it's like
you know like Norwich's one for it's like on the ball city, that one, you know.
Yeah.
Like that, I think it's, isn't it the oldest football song? I think they claim it's the oldest football song around.
Well, let's see if she'd be up for doing some of this stuff. It could be great.
It'd be really interesting.
Especially if it's a word. I think it's quite nice defining a word, but if there is something a little bit historical, I think, I assume she can lean into that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Susie, if you are listening, aplomb, please, if you could explain that to me.
Speaking of wordsmiths, Peter Drury on commentary, his commentary always goes quite big because his voice attached to certain clips is magnificent, isn't it? Especially if they then put the violins in underneath as well.
Yeah,
since you saw Paddy Power did a recent tweet.
Yeah, I mean, Paddy Power, they're great. They're on the button for sure. And this was during the game. This tweet, it popped up as an alert on my phone, and we had a chuckle in the pub. And so this is basically around a player that passes a ball out of play. So, and this is Peter Drury's reaction. The crowd holding its breath in anticipation, as if time itself is poised on the precipice of destiny. And with a flick of his boot, he sends it soaring into the realms of infinity where dreams and aspirations collide.
See, I like
dreams and aspirations collide.
It is his kind of style.
That, I can literally picture him saying it well.
It is his kind of style. I think he's very very descriptive, isn't he? I mean, he must be amazing on Valentine's Day, like writing in the card, you know. He must nail that, because I never really know what to say, because it's not long after Christmas where you've basically gone, you know, love you, what an amazing year.
Yeah.
It's very hard to know what to write in a card. Peter Drury will be there, like, oh, it'll be his sonnets. It'll be wonderful, won't it?
Yeah, your eyes are like waterfalls.
Yeah.
Dive deep into the depths of the blue.
We should have done it for. We should have bought Peter Drury in just to
do a Valentine's
people's Valentine's messages.
He's probably on Cameo or something, isn't he?
I don't know.
He should be.
He should be. Yeah. I wonder if. I think it's. It could be quite a useful service actually. If you need a sort of a love poem or a love letter written, maybe we get Peter Drury involved. We need to remember this sort of stuff for next year. Any shirts? We do this every week.
Yeah,
as well.
I've got a shirt. Got a lovely one in from Mark. Well, he sent in a picture of a young lady here holding up a shirt with Minge on the back. It says, "Welcome to Niner. Minge signs for VFL Women. The 24-year-old will join Wolfsburg in the summer on a free transfer from Freiburg." Interesting. Well, you know, it's just a lady signing for a club.
She looks really happy.
Yeah, she's happy with it.
Any other shirts?
I got one here, yeah. This one is a really interesting one for me, this. Really interesting. Mum of, on the top, 10 as the number. Mum of 10 on the back of the shirt.
Mum of 10. It has to be. She's got 10 kids.
Or she's the mum of the number 10 playing on the pitch, James Madison, or... Do you see what I mean? Like, it could be whatever number 10 is. I don't know what kit that is because we only see the back. Light blue. Or it could be she's got 10 kids. Yeah, I'm not sure. Don't see, it's a new one. I've not seen one like that before.
Not seen one like that. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just the player. That's the mum of the player.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
10 kids is hard work.
Yeah.
10 kids is some going.
I mean, you basically need to be almost like a football manager to manage 10. I mean, that's...
Well, I said to my wife, we were at 3 and we had 3 boys and she was like, look, do you want to go again? And I said, I'm fine. But if we get another boy, I'm 100% going for another one to make it a 5-a-side team. I couldn't stick on 4 boys. Lucky enough, we got a girl. So we stayed at 4.
Do you know which one would have been the goalie?
Tricky. Yeah, don't know.
Really giving some thought.
He's really giving it some thought.
Oh, bless. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun today. I enjoyed this Friday podcast. It's a good one. Hopefully one of us gets a correct result.
That'd be nice.
Yes.
And this league table could go any number of ways, couldn't it?
Okay, so final scores, lads. What are we saying? So Man City and Manchester United. I've gone 2-0.
Yeah, I've gone 3-1.
3-0.
Okay, Newcastle Wolves. I've gone 2-2.
1-0 to Newcastle.
Yeah, and I've gone away win Wolves 2-1.
Everton. I've gone Everton, West Ham 2-0 to Everton.
I've gone Everton 2, West Ham 1.
And I've gone for a draw. 1-1, Everton, West Ham.
Right, good luck, lads. Hopefully you don't chumble Wamba.
Well, I think someone's arsehole's going to drop out after I get 3 points and then I'm on the up.
Yeah, you are, yeah. That's all you need is a 1-3.
That's going to be another... I like the people screen grab things of Sid's quotes from this Friday one. That's going to be when someone's arsehole's going to drop out.
Yeah. I think if we can just screenshot like one... quote from one Sid's every quote. Week that'd be great. Last one, if Sheffield United score, I'm fucked. Was one of my personal highlights.
Let's have one a week.
Yeah, one a week. What was that one? What was that one again?
Arseholes.
Someone's arseholes falling out.
Someone's arseholes fell out. Cheers, guys.
All right, Chumbawamba.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode is brought to you by a load of pricks.net. We are the experts in selling houses. Chris couldn't sell his house. What did you do, Chris?
I couldn't sell my house for love nor money, Crouchy. 3 different offers I had, all at the last minute, fell through. I turned round to my wife and said, "What can we do to sell this house? Every estate agent is failing us." Then I told her, "Let's go to a load of pricks.net."
But Chris, what did a load of pricks do for you?
They were brilliant, Crouchy. They sold my house right away. The sign had barely gone up when a well-dressed gentleman came along and offered me twice the asking price.
Chris, would you use a load of pricks again?
I'd use them every time, Crouchy.
Go to loadofpricks.net. They will sell your house like no other. Load of pricks, loadofpricks.net.